Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
And we are broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia. Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and of course, the critical issues of the day. Now here's your host, Scott Luton.
Hey, thanks, Stone. Great to be back today, as we'll be focusing once again here on Supply Chain Now Radio on the Supply Chain City, hashtag Supply Chain City, Atlanta, Georgia, home of the first place Atlanta Braves, fresh off a big win last night in Arizona. So first, we're going to be speaking with two leaders that are doing big things in the supply chain ecosystem throughout Metro Atlanta and beyond. But first, let's say good morning to my talented co-host, Mr. Ben Harris, Director of Supply Chain Ecosystem Expansion with the Metro Atlanta Chamber. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Scott.
And Will Hareway, founder and lead evangelist with Backbeat Marketing and a new member of our APIX Atlanta Executive Advisory Board. Good morning, Will.
Oh, good morning, Scott.
You didn't know you were just newly promoted.
This is a big moment for me. I was about to say, live on the show. Live on the show. I can feel the energy.
We're looking forward to hearing from both of you in just a minute on some of the top things to know in supply chain now. But we want to welcome today's featured guest first. Before we dive into that, good morning, Paul Noble, founder and CEO of Audit.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Glad you're here, Paul. And good morning, John McKee with Sprint Business Solutions.
Thank you for having me. It's a great place to be this morning.
Well, glad to have you and Paul join us. We're teed up for a great conversation on some of the really neat technology initiatives that both of your organizations are driving here in the supply chain city. All right. So great conversation teed up for today, but let's start with some top things to know in supply chain now. Ben Harris with the Metro Atlanta Chamber. Let's start with some good news. And some big recent wins for the supply chain city. So first, let's talk everybody's favorite. Let's talk coffee.
Is that how you're going to start it, with a coffee? I'm actually holding a cup of coffee as we speak. You can't see that on air.
Delicious Starbucks.
We're all drinking coffee, but cheers. The Falcons.
Yes, indeed. So Starbucks plans to invest $16 million in an 85,000 square foot facility for an operations hub that will create 500 jobs. An estimated economic impact of $190 million here in Atlanta. Really exciting announcement. I think this project has been working for a while between Invest Atlanta, the Georgia Department of Economic Development, Metro Atlanta Chamber, Georgia Power, among other partners. So big win for Atlanta. And everybody says, well, why does that matter? It's like, okay, 500 great high-paying jobs for Atlanta, but also on the heels of this, what's going on with HQ2, you know, if it's good enough for one Seattle-based company, hopefully it's good enough for the other. So, you know, on the heels of some of those rumors that have been out there, I think this is very exciting news for us and definitely a watershed moment for also Mayor Bottoms. Also, yep. This is probably her first big win there. So
terrific. Great news. The supply chain city continues to get bigger and better. And, you know, one of the things I love about Starbucks that I don't think they get enough credit for is they make a huge investment in commitment to hiring veterans. I want to say that they made a commitment to hire 15,000 veterans by 2020, I believe. They've already met it, and then they've already raised the bar and made their next commitment, where I think their goal is to hire another 25,000 military veterans and spouses by 2025.
Great.
So that, you know, of those 500 jobs, we'll know a portion will go to members of that community, but regardless, a big win for Atlanta, Georgia, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And also those 500 jobs are actually – it's a true 500 new jobs for Atlanta. It's not people that are relocating from other places. So
terrific.
True 500 jobs here.
Big win. So did you know that Starbucks serves over 4 billion cups of coffee a year?
No.
Did you know that?
Wow.
Sounds
did
right.
not.
I believe it.
Any guesses on how many coffee beans that takes? No?
Do tell, Scott.
That.
Go on.
I usually have that data point. I don't have that one.
Couple pounds.
But to make that 4 billion plus cups of coffee happen, I bet they use a few robots in their supply chain, right? You think?
I'm sure they do.
And Ben, our second big win deals on that front. So tell us about the supply chain robotics space.
Yes. So the world's largest supply chain robotics firm has decided to put their U.S. headquarters in Atlanta. A company called Gray Orange, one word that is, it's a Singapore headquartered international robotics company, will open its U.S. headquarters in Atlanta to reach customers across North America. And it's already opened 50 positions immediately right now. And its first hub is actually going to be in the Alpharetta area, is where it's going to be based. And just a huge win for Supply Chain City. We talk about Industry 4.0 around robotics, 3D printing, AI, VR, you name it. But this, you know, having the largest robotics company in the world that's devoted to supply chain and them picking Atlanta, I think it just speaks volumes about what we're doing here, that Atlanta's on the map. It's not just in the U.S. anymore. This is a global thing, a company from Singapore like that. So, very exciting.
You know, in the press release they put out, Ben, I love this quote from Gray Orange's CEO, Samay Coley.
Yep.
He says that they selected Atlanta, quote, for its reputations for excellence in supply chain and emerging technology.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, I love that.
You can't write it up any better than that. And I think Georgia Tech was a big part of that also.
Huge. That's right.
And I think their first executive was actually a hire from Honeywell just now. So very, very exciting. I've actually reached out to him as well to just kind of introduce ourselves and get acquainted there. So hopefully he'll be a guest on the show soon enough. So
perfect.
Stay tuned.
The word is getting out.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
And I know, Paul, we were talking about that a little bit in the warm-up. In your global travels, you're hearing regularly about Atlanta and what's going on here, right?
Yeah, whether it's the investment community or companies we're talking to, you know, everyone's got Atlanta on the radar. You know, I love the hashtag Supply Chain City. Mm. I'll run with that. but yeah, really exciting, and knowing this is not for automotive and really all things manufacturing, all things supply chain. Everyone's taking note.
That's
great
right.
to see and why we're excited to be here and building our business here.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. There was one other quote in there, Scott, or actually one other stat that was really interesting we saw here.
Do share.
One report predicted that sales of warehousing and logistics robots would grow from $1.9 billion, with a B, in 2016 to $22.4 billion by the end of 2021.
Wow. Huge factor in supply chain, huge factor in continued supply chain performance. So looking forward to what that means, again, for Metro Atlanta and beyond, and really, for that matter, our industry.
Absolutely.
So technology and talent is here to be found in Atlanta. All right. So, Ben, one more point on your end. Let's talk manufacturing, obviously a key component of the end-to-end supply chain space. What's going on in that industry?
Yeah. So the ISM, which is Institute of Supply Management, actually just came out with their reading this month of their manufacturing index, and they actually predicted it to go down this month in August by about 3 points. Mm. Not only did it not go down, it went up by 3 points. So we talk about threat of tariffs. I think we mentioned that on the last show that we were on. You know, that's definitely a concern for manufacturers here going forward, but it seems like they're staring right at these tariffs and saying, you know, it is what it is, but we've got to keep moving forward. It's not going to hurt what we're doing out here in the manufacturing space. So, very encouraging news from the ISM there.
Definitely, and that same report, which is the PMI report, found that this is in July, found that 17 of the 18 manufacturing sectors that it tracks, the ISM tracks, reported growth. So solid growth across the board, for sure. Everyone's looking at focusing on controlling what they can control. Right, other things be as it may. But with that said, let's bring in Will Haraway with Backbeat Marketing.
All right.
Will, as we all know, critical to manufacturing is effective inventory management, right?
Absolutely.
So what are some of your latest observations in this area?
Well, you know, with Paul joining us today, I thought we'd take a look at what's going on in inventory over the last couple of weeks, how companies are managing it with some help from companies here in Supply Chain City. So this week, Urban Outfitters, they credited their improved inventory processes with its uptick in their latest earnings. Mm. And that included a 14% increase in sales. And the increased performance, you know, it comes from not only figuring out what's the right product mix, and but it's specific to being able to replenish that inventory quickly, you know, as it coming in as it goes out. The inventory has reduced, the company has reduced its lead time by an entire month over the last 3 years and believes there is still room for improvement. So that boost, that 14% boost, not only came with a 3% uptick in retail segment inventory, so there's nowhere to go but up for them. Ben, I bet you know who handles their I.O.
No, please do tell.
It's our old it's our old friends from Manhattan Associates.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
They make good software, that's for sure.
So Supply Chain City strikes again there.
Indeed.
That's right.
But with hurricane season upon us, that is something that inventory planners and managers have to take a look at for a variety of reasons. So inventory planners are hard at work to figure out how and where to divert inventory away from the affected areas where the storms are going to be, you know, and in some cases to get supplies to those affected areas. And we'll get into that too. But so I spoke with Rod Doherty about this. He is over at Blue Ridge, which is an Atlanta supply chain planning company.
Mm-hmm.
Friend of the show, yes. Blue Ridge, friend of the show. And Rod said that, you know, many of their Blue Ridge's customers, they spend their entire summer on contingency plans just for this reason, to move products from the Gulf Coast. And that's obviously happening as we speak, you know, and to get those products out of harm's way and back to manufacturing. You know, in the manufacturing sector, you've got to move. You have to move your supply chain pieces so you don't lose that inventory. Now, the stuff, factories, warehouses, chemical plants, you can't move those. But transportation companies, they have assets that can be relocated. So as soon as they know where the storm will hit landfall, boom, that equipment has got to be moved. And they've always got a plan for that. So the other side of that coin is, what if you're trying to get inventory into those hurricane affected areas? You know, and so there's retailers like, you know, Walmart and our friends from Home Depot. You know, they have plans in place. They have planning teams that can predict and pre-position inventory at some of those stores. What they'll do is they'll move some of the inventory to a safe zone and then rush it into the stores after the hurricane, you know, after the worst of the hurricane passes by. And Home Depot, for example, they'll make sure that inventory like batteries, flashlights, plywood for boarding up windows is plentiful at the stores in the hurricane's path. I mean, last year they were incredibly busy, as you can imagine, you know, with all of the things that happened in September and October. They sent, I think it was almost 7,000 containers of inventory to Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Wow.
So,
where the cleanup still continues.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So on that note, you know, we've mentioned this before, but AllenAid.org is an excellent nonprofit that, as we're in the throes of hurricane season, they do a great work in basically pooling together corporate resources to go into Puerto Rico and other areas that are affected by natural disasters and providing aid, just, you know, in coordinating and marshaling resources. So to our audience, check out that. Of course, they need resources and new donors and other corporations that will offer up their supply chain capacity to help fulfill their mission. But check out AllenAid.org. They're doing a lot of great work and continue to do a lot of great work in Puerto Rico, amongst other locales. We should also note, again, on a much lighter note, Home Depot's supply chain organization recently let back into the Gartner Top 25 rankings, right? Lots of innovation coming out of the Home Depot based right here in the supply chain city. So good stuff, Will.
Yeah.
All right. So speaking of inventory management, our first special guest today is helping organizations across the end-to-end supply chain more effectively manage their inventory, amongst other things. So let's welcome our first guest today on Supply Chain Now Radio. It's Paul Noble, founder and CEO of Audit. That's AUTIT. Good morning again, Paul.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, glad to have you here, especially as busy as you are traveling the world, helping save the supply chain one organization at a time, right?
Doing our part.
And I stole that from our good friend Chris Barnes. But all right, so Paul, tell us, what led you to launching Audit?
Yeah, great question. So I spent most of my career with the Sherwin-Williams Company, and most of that was spent in the industrial and manufacturing supply chain. So I was a supplier in varying capacities to industrial distributors like HD Supply, Grainger, Fastenal, and we were selling our book of brands into manufacturing companies. And as we were all working together, saw a lot of challenges as it pertained to maximizing each of our individual effectiveness, I guess, best way to say it. And a lot of it led was because of data management issues, right? So after feeling that pain, long story short, decided to go tackle it and founded Audit a few years ago. We're based out of the ATDC down at Georgia Tech, and that's been a great environment and ecosystem for us as we've found our way and grown. So initially we were supplier-based, you know, helping suppliers and distributors better serve their manufacturing customers. And as we were moving down that path, we found our way to really be focusing on and moving towards the issues at the core, which really stemmed out of the systems that legacy ERP systems that manufacturers are using to manage their data, manage their inventory, and their entire businesses globally. And so we identified some key ways that we could help create a great business case and wrap our arms around that, and really met up at ATDC with my partners who are, you know, AI experts. And
And that's one of your key differentiators.
Yeah. So really, you know, the best way to solve these massive data problems goes back to a lot of the things that Will said. All these variables are really difficult to manage, you know, with human capabilities and systems that are disconnected by nature. So, you know, that led my team and I to come up with a way to infuse intelligence through AI into these systems to take massive amounts of data and make complex solutions a lot easier so that important decisions can be made and ultimate recall of all these different variables and signals that really drive these decisions and drive ROI and drive, you know, working capital reduction strategies for our customers, led us onto that path.
So you're enabling your clients to make smarter decisions and move faster to make them. Sounds
right.
Like,
yeah, absolutely.
So you're already working with some Fortune 500 manufacturers, which is one of your sweet spots.
Yep.
And you've already touched on this, but what other problems is audit helping its customers solve?
Yeah, so if we are looking at, you know, problems, you know, our kind of high level statement is that we're using AI to harmonize data and predict inventory for parts in manufacturing. So we're really focused on manufacturers are spending trillions of dollars on parts to maintain their facilities and assets and produce their products. But those ERP systems that they use, SAP, for instance, they're very disconnected by nature. They were invented before the internet existed.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of disparate data across a global organization, let alone just within, you know, North American area. So based on that, there's a lot of subjectivity that they're using in terms of inventory management of, if I stock more inventory, I'm more reliable to get my goods to my customers or maintain my facilities. And so what we're essentially doing is saying you can be Six Sigma reliable with a much lower working capital inventory number,
right?
And providing them with the trustworthy data that ops, procurement, and finance can all get on the same page with. So we, you know, merge those disparate data sets. We structure the data to make sense of it, and then we tie that to movement history and then movement decisions moving forward, so that we can, you know, ultimately create a great business case for them and save them a lot of money up front. But then, more importantly, learn from the best throughout their organization, so that they can transfer that knowledge to their systems and be better from an overall standpoint, eliminate variability across their enterprise. Mm.
Paul, does your solution, does it kind of sit on top of SAP or in between it, or how does it work with a company's ERP, whether it's SAP, Oracle, whoever it is?
Yeah, so we it essentially kind of infuses intelligence kind of behind the scenes, and then sits and maps that data out.
Yeah.
But can be real time hooked in. So a lot of solutions are very project based, static based, and require the extraction of data or really physically mapping data out into a different system. Specifically SAP, but even really the other systems that companies are using, we're able to. And we've spent a lot of time on the back end side of it so that we can make it easy to integrate, enhance the systems is really much of our focus at this point of our existence and development as a business is enhancing the systems that they have and making those intelligent.
Not reinventing the wheel each time.
Right, right. Exactly. And, you know, ultimate goal is to be able to connect the supply chain and digitize the supply chain.
Which is good for everybody.
Yeah.
Because it's that balance, right? I mean, inventory is... Having too much inventory is expensive.
Very,
you know,
you've got to
have the right amount of safety stock, you know, inventory that's sitting around is just costing you money. But at the same time, if you don't have that inventory,
it's really expensive too,
and you're out of stock.
Yep.
Then you're that's just as bad. So that's
it takes a consistent view of that, in our opinion, and you need to be looking at so many really millions of variables.
Yeah.
And it's really challenging to do without being able to train artificial intelligence to support those great resources and great people that are making those decisions within all these organizations.
And it is things like seasonality.
Yeah.
You know, certainly the Christmas season if you're a retailer, and hurricane season if you're in Home Depot's space.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Yeah, I would argue that the average consumer, we've talked on this show before numerous times about general lack of awareness, right? From a supply chain standpoint, a manufacturing standpoint, I'm certainly trying with my three kids to make sure they know where stuff comes from, right? But I think along those same lines, the average consumer probably doesn't appreciate how hurricane season and natural disasters throws huge curveballs at supply chain teams, right? To keep things moving, right?
Yep.
So what I love about solution providers like Audit and what they offer is you can proactively make your business stronger and more sound so that when we get the curveball that we know is coming, we just don't know what that curveball looks like or how fast it's coming, we're in better position to make decisions and react and do what we got to do to keep things going.
Yeah, and that's the important thing with AI. You know, there's always, jokingly, our AI is going to take over, take all the jobs, all that type of stuff. But it really is just enhancing and allowing you to react and have the recall and integrate those variables that you're talking about.
Yep.
And put it all into the equation and be able to react faster, react more appropriately, and have a learning mechanism on decisions that you are making across hundreds of spots across the organization.
You're helping those the AI is helping those planners.
Absolutely.
That are at every single Fortune 500 company.
Yeah.
That's helping them be smarter.
Absolutely. Sure. And those planners come and go a lot of the time. So let's say you lost them to another company, they move on to something else. You lose that knowledge base too.
Yeah.
But with AI, you've still got that.
We actively work with the organizations to be able to learn from the data that they have existing and then be able to transfer a lot of that knowledge that is locked in the expert, through a lot of retirement and those types of things.
Absolutely.
People that have been great employees, but all the knowledge exists.
Well, especially in manufacturing environments. You're seeing, aging workforces out there, and those people as they, retire and move on to other endeavors, you can't replace them necessarily. So it helps actually train up probably the younger generation as well.
Yeah. And for global organizations, we talk about all the large global organizations, the presence they have here in Atlanta, but they have operations all over the world. And to be able to transfer that, that expert knowledge that they have here in North America.
And standardize it.
To different parts of the world and different languages and all sorts of different things is really difficult to do without the support of these frontier technologies.
Yeah.
So I would also imagine it's difficult to do without an experienced team behind the solution.
Yeah.
So talk about some of your team's impressive experience that they bring to the table. They certainly have been there and done that, right?
Yeah, we have an awesome team. Again, kudos to the ecosystem here in Atlanta. As I was starting the company, we really looked to Atlanta as a place we wanted to build our business and met my partners, JR and George, our CTO and COO, respectively, at ATDC, and it's been a great relationship. And over the past year, their level of expertise coming out of tech, and then subsequently building their careers here, and the knowledge that they have with neural AI systems and enterprise cloud systems, the things that we need to support our customers, really meshed well with my supply chain experience. And so really couldn't be happier to have a great team like that. And, we're excited because we're going to be actively building on that team. So both from an engineering and sales perspective over the next couple of months, and fortunate to be working with tech and Metro Atlanta Chamber of Commerce to do so.
Well, if you need any help finding that talent, I know of a small little firm that can help out. But anyway,
wonderful.
Kidding aside.
talent something.
That's right. Talent
something.
So, Paul, one of the things I like that you're stating there is because we're talking about the team and that experience and the ability to craft these solutions. It's still about people.
It is.
AI is a friend.
Took the words out of my mouth.
Yeah, it's a friend of supply chain. It's a friend of business. It's not a threat to eliminating people anytime soon. I mean, you still have to have people make decisions, and they lead these big projects and these big businesses.
Yeah, and that was something I wanted to touch on during today's show, is that the people here in Atlanta and the resources and the networks are it's just so invaluable for everything that's going on here. And AI is not a magic wand. It's
that's right.
Yeah, it has to be taught by humans, and it's important to be able to, again, make some of these mundane activities like managing, you know, millions of data points superhuman. That's really the key takeaway of, you know, what is AI doing today in the supply chain. I think that's one of the number one key variables.
So, you know, one of my former business partners used to use this analogy when it comes to the latest and greatest tools that are extremely powerful. You know, you give the keys to a brand new Maserati to a 9-year-old, you know, what happens? But when you apply these latest and greatest very powerful tools in a smart way, that's when you have a robust impact on the organization, the right way, the smart way, the planned way.
Right.
So you've got some big news. You've just launched a new partnership with a behemoth in the supply chain world, SAP.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So since March, we were selected by SAP through a program that they have, SAP.io, and we've been splitting time between Atlanta and San Francisco, working directly with them, which has been invaluable for us. So as we were developing the business, 90% or more of the customers that we're talking to are on SAP, or one of the major systems, but really SAP being the leader within manufacturing for us. So for them to bring us in and select us and recognize what we were doing to support their customer base and how we could enhance the customer experience and value for them, and then we could learn more about how we could do that with them, has been a really great experience. So we're working with them directly in Palo Alto to integrate our technology into the system, as well as and make it more real time, make a faster integration, and kind of circumvent the traditional challenges with integrations and implementations. And then also working with them and learning from their customers. So I think it's going to be a great relationship moving forward as we continue to grow, and something that they have a great presence here in Atlanta as well.
They
between
do.
Ariba and a handful of their other business units that we are fortunate to be able to be connected with at this time as an early stage growth company.
And so SAP, huge player in supply chain, as we all know. But it's also, when we were talking in the warm-up show, as important as SAP is as a platform, you're also working with a lot of other companies that have other platforms, right?
Certainly. Yeah. Independent of what solution, whether it's Oracle or JD Edwards, or maybe, you know, we're even building for organizations that can't maybe afford those systems as well. So really our wheelhouse is manufacturing companies with 5 or more facilities that we can really kind of add value to, but really no system limitations. A lot of what we can do can be, we can show a lot of value even off of data exports as well prior to integration, and a really great strategy to show them initial immediate value and build a plan that can make them more and more reliable for less and less inventory over time. Mm.
Terrific.
Yeah.
And you've got some other news, some big things on the horizon that you can't necessarily talk about today, but growth is the key word at Audit, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We're really excited for the remainder of 2018, moving into Q4, and what 2019 will bring for us.
Awesome. Well, glad to have. So how can folks find out more information on Audit?
Yeah, easy to look us up on social media or the web at audit.com, or feel free, if there's something that interested you here and you want to talk more about it, feel free to email at paul@audit.com.
Great. And for our listeners, that's AUTIT.com. And again, reach out to Paul directly. We enjoyed having you here today.
And don't
go anywhere. We'll talk about some more things still to come here.
Happy to hang around.
All right.
Thank you.
So Paul Noble, founder and CEO of Audit here on Supply Chain Now Radio. Thanks again, Paul. Okay, so you can't have incredible technology innovations that power e-commerce and the end-to-end supply chain and everything else without technology infrastructure that keeps up and surpasses demand, right? Our next guest will be speaking about some of the neat developments in this area that's helping to power the supply chain city. So up next on Supply Chain Now Radio, we welcome John McKee with Sprint Business Solutions. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. Great theme for the show today because, you know, we've got to have plenty of bandwidth, plenty of access to fuel the ever-growing importance of technology in the end-to-end supply chain space. So glad you're here. Very timely topic. And Sprint is truly moving at light speed on the technology front, right, John?
Yeah. We are a leader in mobile platforms. Everybody's has a mobile phone today. We're proud to announce, you know, the launch of 5G services here in Atlanta. We're on the forefront of technology innovation. We're building a blazing fast, high capacity network that will enable the next wave of wireless innovation. This will power the supply chain performance of Supply Chain City here in Atlanta.
That's right.
That's right.
Awesome to have. So from your perspective, I'm sure all of us in the room have heard about 5G, but why is this expansion important to organizations both in the end-to-end supply chain and to the consumers?
Well, thanks for asking. The consumer benefits, if we could just dive right into that. I mean, you know, like, for example, 5G would be like going from black and white TV to color television. Mm. So just to put it in layman's terms, the frequency spectrum that we're using is the sweet spot 2.5. 4G is, here's another example. 4G is about 6 minutes to download a full movie, whereas 5G, the same download is about 15 seconds.
Wow. Hallelujah. for all the dads out there. Yeah.
So we'll be connecting more people, places, and things.
That's awesome. Well, and so we were talking in the warm-up show, you know, 5G is going to be able to connect everything from, you know, baby monitors to cars to smartphones to drones, of course, which are big parts, growing parts of the supply chain.
Self-driving cars.
That's right. Self-driving cars, VR headsets, just name a few, right?
That's correct. Yeah. I mean, a lot of this stuff, especially like self-driving cars, is basically, you know, to reduce travel time, you know, save lives, as a matter of fact. Mm. You know, that's a big part of it as well as billions of dollars a year. There's studies out there that you can easily find as well. But just the autonomous vehicles piece alone could recover, you know, billions of hours from work productivity lost while driving.
Yep. So. And of course, the 5G powerful network is going to help us continue to make the autonomous vehicles, both on the consumer side and within industry, more and more practical and adopted, right?
But, yeah, no, absolutely. Even if we talk about trucks also. I mean, a split second, when we talk about connectivity, is the difference between life and death on the road.
Great.
So, I mean, this is huge what Sprint is doing in this area.
Yeah, and that gets down into the latency, you know, the latency capability of a network, which is also a big part of the 5G drive, is that latency portion,
which
makes a big difference.
In layman's terms, latency, you're talking about reaction time.
That is correct.
Right?
Yep. And I wish we could do a visual. We're on radio, but it would be, you know, if you're looking at cars on a highway, the time it takes for a human being to react, it causes, we're all sitting in the highway and we're all, you know, like, hey, get moving. Whereas, you know, a connected world, it would just be a streamline. There would be no me pausing and then speeding up. Mm. It would just be a steady flow.
Yep. So let's talk about some of the numbers. In our warm-up conversations, John, we talk about self-driving cars. Deloitte put out a study not too long ago. Self-driving cars could reduce emissions by 40 to 90%, reduce travel times by 40%, and talk about save lives, could save over 21,000 lives per year. And those are bona fide benefits.
Those are absolute numbers.
And I think what's neat, watching the and I shouldn't mention this, but watching the Falcons and the Phillies game and any other games during college
you
football season.
I had to bring it up.
But, you know, you notice all of the car money, the automotive manufacturers are already touting a lot of this 4.0 technology innovations, right? But the 5G space is going to make that even more powerful, right? And again, save lives, prevent collisions, I mean, you name it. And so the transfer over to the the supply chain side, right? It's definitely going to come. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we're doing some testing in Peachtree Corners. I don't have a lot of data on it right now, but we'll call it like a test track where we're testing sensors and road conditions and lights and how all that interacts with autonomous vehicles.
Wow.
So that's happening as we speak.
One more quick data point about what autonomous vehicles and what 5G is helping to enable. Deloitte also mentioned that autonomous vehicles could recover 100 billion hours of productive work currently lost while driving and commuting. Can you imagine the impact? Can you imagine the impact? I can't imagine of recouping 5 billion hours, much less 100. And one last transportation note, 5G could help improve road safety and enable better fleet management. Right, John?
That's right, yes. We have a little bit to talk about, too, and specifically in supply chain as well.
Yep. So on that note, I know Sprint has worked with a wide variety of solution partners. Let's talk about one in particular that's well-known in the supply chain space, Descartes. I had to ask Ben Harris with the Metro Atlanta Chamber, who's a highfalutin mayor of the supply chain city, how to pronounce that.
We do have to get that right, yes.
My South Carolina English sometimes prevents me from getting things right. But so tell us about, you know, Descartes, well-known within supply chain.
Well, yeah, well, we have a lot of solution partners. I want to start out by saying that. There are many. We have a lot of things going on with Sprint. Some of you may have even heard of the Sprint Internet of Things factory. Mm-hmm. We have that going on as well. If you have connectivity ideas, you can bring them to us. But yeah, Descartes is a major player with Sprint. You know, they're a provider of cloud-based mobile solutions that help streamline and automate complex last-mile logistics processes.
Mm-hmm. And what are they? What are some of the benefits in supply chain that they're predicting from 5G?
Well, you're going to see, you know, elimination of paper manifest, optimizing routes, and streamlining dispatching. We're gonna be able to ensure that the right terms or items are received and loaded. Prove it when and where, the location, and at each stop, and that will allow you to confirm the chain of custody, manage your cross dock opportunities, proof of delivery, reduce product returns, and more effectively tracking and overages and shortages, which we know is extremely important.
Yep. And as we've seen in study after study, consumers are demanding transparency and where's their stuff and when's it getting to me?
Visibility.
Yeah,
visibility. Biggest word there. Reliability and visibility, I feel like, are the biggest things. And everybody always talks about, you know, visibility, 100% visibility at all times. It's impossible, basically. Right. But with 5G, you can get pretty darn close to that. So this, it's big for the supply chain.
It's really interesting. It's
huge.
It's a fun market, definitely.
So let's move from benefits into talking some specifics around Sprint's rollout plan. So I understand Sprint has targeted 9 markets for 5G?
Yeah. So some of these markets, obviously, we want to say Atlanta. You know, we have Atlanta right. in the house, which is what matters most here to us here today.
That's
but
right.
You know, cities like Chicago, Dallas, Houston, Phoenix, KC, Washington, LA, New York, those are the list, the primary list. The technology rollout is underway here in Atlanta. We're already doing improvements. Sometimes when I come in, I think I'm coming in early. I see engineers leaving, so I'm like, gosh, they've been up all night. So it's, you know, here we're looking at the first half of 2019. Obviously, we got a lot of territory to cover. You know, we're looking at from the line of Macon and north would be to give you an idea of that footprint. So
when you talk about later in 2019, that's referring to the infrastructure in Atlanta, but it's already been underway in Dallas and L.A. and New York City, right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
In fact, we just it's out there. We just introduced the first partnership, but we already have a partnership with LG. But LG and Sprint, we just recently announced the 5G phone, a 5G phone.
Wow. Okay. No shortage of things going on in Sprint, but 5G is a big deal in supply chain and in the consumer world and the business world in general. So let's talk a minute about the technology itself. You know, gigahertz and the sweet spot and spectrum, all that stuff. It kind of give a, again, layman's terms. What does all that mean? What's behind the curtain from a 5G standpoint?
Well, there's obviously each carrier has different network spectrum capacity. And speaking of Sprint's, in particular, is a 2.5 bandwidth. We have a lot of it, more than anybody else. And that's what, you know, that's the sweet spot for 5G, you know, to give us a great balance of coverage, capacity, and speed.
Because it's like a triangle. You want to have the balance between the three. If you have all speed but no coverage and capacity, it's going to be the benefits can be not nearly what it could be if you have a good equal balance between the three. Right? Right,
yeah,
John?
Yeah, that's correct. And, you know, we're adding thousands of new sites to expand and extend our network and experience, deploying even smart cells to densify the network and boosting capacity. We have the Sprint Magic Box. As a matter of fact, we have the Super Bowl coming up, so that's a big ramp up. We want to be ready for that, so that'd be a good milestone marker for us.
Absolutely. And John, we talk about the Internet of Things and the need for connectivity around that. What does, you know, 5G really mean for the next thing around the Internet of Things? We talk about, you know, solutions and applications there, but are there any examples out there that you can provide around what that'll do to kind of next things for IoT?
Yeah, well, and of course, in supply chain, you even get down to machine-to-machine type operations, and that comes back to, again, latency.
Yeah.
Being able to, you know, immediately have the device reacting on point and with no delay whatsoever. Mm-hmm. A lot of the products and services that we're selling today, you'll see a lot of visuals out there. We put a lot of visuals out there, and you'll see us connecting different devices, billions of devices, from smartwatches to remote healthcare, to of course the autonomous vehicles as well. Public safety, you know, we'll have better personal protected, you know, smart communities to be one.
And we, John, we were talking in the warm up session. You know, clearly our focus here is supply chain, but in healthcare alone, huge gains that can be made driven by the 5G network. You know, one of the things we talked about, digital health adoption could save $305 billion annually in the healthcare industry. And who is not for saving money in healthcare, right?
I agree.
Telemedicine, it could drive big gains there. That in fact, you know, my mom, who just retired as a registered nurse and a certified diabetes educator, she's spoken about the growing use of telemedicine, right? And I think great gains could be made, fueled by 5G, with enabling more and more folks to use telemedicine that may not have means to get to the doctor's office or may not have means to pay for those in-person visits. That could be huge gains there.
Absolutely. And all that being driven through smartphones and apps, you know, examples being like diabetic patients will be able to use their smartphone to monitor their glucose levels.
And here's a tie back to supply chain. Back to people, back to workforce. You got to take care of your people, right? So with every healthcare advancement, businesses will be able to take advantage of that and keep their workforce healthy and at work, making money and making stuff and keeping everybody safe. So 5G is going to have some really universal advantages from across industry. One last factoid. You mentioned public safety, John. You were talking about this study in Salt Lake City that showed a one-minute improvement. And when John's talking latency of 5G and the reaction time, this study in Salt Lake City showed that a one-minute improvement in EMS, which is your ambulance and paramedics, response time saves lives by 8%. So in these big cities, 1% could really move the needle, much less 8. So what? Maybe the shorter question to answer is, what is 5G not going to touch?
Yeah, that's true. You it's connecting all things, places, and things. And to that point, you know, in the public safety section, you know, you'll be able to, you know, police departments will be able to move more efficiently, covering an entire city. Connected officers to be one can send and receive mission critical information faster, more reliable, and improve the public safety of all of us.
Awesome! Exciting times in technology and the growing ability, capacity, and capability that 5G is going to offer, again, not just supply chain teams, but businesses in general and consumers. So John, thanks for being here today.
Goodness. It's a pleasure.
I'm sure we missed – I mean, this is such a huge rollout. I'm sure we missed plenty, but What's the best way to get in touch with you if folks want to compare notes or learn more?
Sure. Well, you're certainly always welcome to reach out to me. You know, you can find me on any social, John McKee. Mine has a unique 453 number at the behind of it because there are so many John McKees out there. But Sprint, you know, is clearly easy to be found, sprint.com. And if you want to get specific, sprintbusiness.com.
Okay.
And that is where you can find more information about what we've discussed today. Feel free to reach out as well to me.
Okay. And if you want to our listeners, shoot a note. If you want to get connected with John, shoot a note to evp@apixatlanta.org, and we'll make that connection and get you more information on what's truly an exciting initiative in industry and here in the supply chain city. Thanks, John, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
John McKee with Sprint Business Solutions. Okay. So we've got no shortage of things going on here in the supply chain city. One of our next shows, next up on Supply Chain Now Radio, we're going to be featuring Chris Barnes, President and Executive Director of Apix Atlanta. And our guest next week, the September 14th show, is going to be John Safran, CEO of KEH Camera. Have any of y'all heard of KEH? What should be on your radar? They're the world's largest used camera retailer.
Ah,
nice.
Yeah, KEH. There are a lot of folks that are photojournalists brag about their products quite a bit. So John Safran is CEO of KEH Camera, and Justin Goldman is director of corporate purchasing for KEH. They'll be here in the studio next Friday, along with our fearless leader, Chris Barnes. And I want to touch on some upcoming events. Again, there's no shortage of things here in the supply chain city. Before I talk about a couple. Ben, what's on your radar?
Well, this actually, there is one event first I want to talk about that's coming up. CSCMP has their annual conference. Scott, not to upstage what's going on with the Apix annual conference at the same time, but as we mentioned before, CSCMP Edge conference is going to be in Nashville actually this year. It was in Atlanta a couple years ago, but that is October 1st and 2nd. Actually, I will be on a panel there with some other experts from the Atlanta area around supply chain, talking about supply chain talent of the future. So very hot topic, something we talk about on here all the time, Scott, and that's something we talked about here today, actually. So really looking forward to that. And then No Rest for the Weary right after that. So October 3rd through the 5th actually will be the Southern Automotive Conference. First time here in Atlanta, oddly enough. With all that's going on around automotive in Atlanta, so many different announcements. I mean, we got Mercedes-Benz literally right out our front door here at the studio. It is the first year that Southern Automotive Conference will be hosted here in the supply chain city. So
big win.
Very, very excited to have them on board here. And then lastly, FabTech. For those of you who don't know, anything when it comes to metal fabrication and any related industries there, it is the show worldwide for that. So this will be the first time in a while that they've had it here in Atlanta. They're contracted here for the next 6 years to come, but that is November 6th through the 8th coming up as well. Very exciting show for us. About 30,000 folks from the manufacturing industry around metal fabrication will be there. So definitely put that on your radar.
So going back a minute to CSCMP and the great show that they'll have up in Nashville, it's important to note, here in Atlanta we have a special thing. Where historically Apix and CSCMP were competitors in some markets, throwing elbows and whatnot, here in Atlanta we have great collaboration between Apix Atlanta and CSCMP Atlanta Roundtable. And in fact, on that note, on the next show or one of the next shows, we'll have some details on a brand new big initiative set to transpire related to supply chain awards in March of 2019. So big win there. A lot big exciting announcement to make in the next few weeks. And we're very appreciative. Speaking for Apix Atlanta, we're very appreciative for the leadership of Dave Maddox and their board over at CSCMP Atlanta Roundtable, who's also a friend of the show. And in case our listeners didn't know, if you're a friend of the show, an official friend of the show, you get a Cadillac wrapped in Supply Chain Now programming, branding. Did you know that? So right, waiting outside for you, Paul and John.
I love it.
Is a Cadillac Eldorado.
I'm excited.
Will, when did ours come? I don't remember you're getting one.
That's a good point.
You're part of the staff. All right. So thank you for sharing some of those things, Ben. It's terrific. Also, upcoming events, we have a plethora of webinars. We've seen Our webinars continue to resonate with the marketplace. I think folks are looking for ways to save time while gaining best practices from the comfort of their home or office over a turkey sandwich. We've got upcoming webinars on AI and supply chain. Speaking of that, Paul, supply chain towers, which is a growing phenomenon within the industry, supply chain rail transformation by Recycling Group out of Texas. And Will Haraway, we've got an upcoming webinar with another friend of the show, Greg White with Curo Global. Tell us about that.
Yep. Greg on the 20th is going to be talking about using technology to connect with millennials and from a company perspective and to both attract and retain talent. Just really by making your technology more intuitive. I mean, at this point, not only have an entire generation grown up picking up an iPad and instantly know, I mean, we all have, you know, we're talking about our 9-year-olds, they can pick it up immediately. They know it better than most of us do. So there's a whole generation that is used to intuitive technology that is a little behind on training because, you know, they're used to just sort of being able to pick it up and go. So that's what Greg's going to be talking about. It's a very interesting topic. Join us. You can sign up on Supply Chain Now Radio, right?
Yeah,
right.
And we'll be launching that new web page, if not this week, next, or as we're running out of time this week. But we've got a brand new website. It's going to make it easier to find our webinars and all of our programming. And you can also register at apixatlanta.org. And I'll tell you, not only is it going to be a great presentation, but Greg with Curo Global is a dynamic speaker. And he can make it entertaining, and you're still learning practical ways of engaging with this generation that, like it or not, you know, and we always say we have a little bit of millennial in us, right? The M word is not a bad word, but, you know, tweaking our communication, leadership styles, our decision making, our technology choices right. to better engage with this key generation is a big deal.
For sure. Yeah. He's animated. It's
animated.
It'll be worth your time.
Okay, so next up, the Georgia Manufacturing Summit. So hopefully y'all have heard of the ever-growing Georgia Manufacturing Alliance, led by our good friend of the show, Jason Moss, CEO and founder. On October 10th is the latest and greatest Georgia Manufacturing Summit. He's expecting almost 1,000 folks from across Georgia. I'm pleased to be leading a panel on trends to track in supply chain. We've got leaders from Southwire, Kumho Tires, and Legility, and I believe our fourth panel member is going to be from Descartes, believe it or not.
Is that Corinne? Joining that?
Well, Corinne on Legility. Yeah, Corinne Bursa, absolutely. Right. Executive Vice President of Marketing with technology powerhouse Legility. She's going to be part of the panel yet again. I think this is her third year on the panel. You can get your tickets for any of the GMA events, but including the Georgia Manufacturing Summit at GeorgiaManufacturingAlliance.com. John, were you going to mention something?
Yeah, speaking of upcoming events, if you're headed to L.A. by chance here on the 13th, Sprint will be at the Mobile World Congress Center in America. And our CEO, Michelle Combs, will be talking about 5G and the fourth industrial revolution. Wow. So if you got time and can grab some tickets, that'd be a great thing to
interesting topic right there.
Absolutely.
The World Economic Forum just released, I believe, 9, they're calling them lighthouse factories that represent exactly that are doing that right now. Everything from 3D printing, additive manufacturing, really, really cool stuff. They just released that, I want to say, today, the fourth industrial revolution. Yeah. That's what we're going through right now.
That's right.
Really exciting stuff.
That's where
you're
headed. So, yeah, that's at the World Congress Center. I think that's in L.A., I believe so.
L.A., West Coast. I will leave that to the world travelers in this room here. I'd love to be out there. My 3 kids have really crunched down on my travel budget. Now, great point, and no shortage of events. One last one to mention that we just finalized this past week is the APIX Regional Supply Chain Leadership Forum, which is a mouthful. It's going to be held October 19th and 20th at Georgia Tech. We've got a mixture of plant tours and site visits on that Friday, which is the 19th, and then on the Saturday, the 20th, we've got four great speakers lined up from Tosca and Show Me 50, Amir Ganad, and Ati Gressa, all speaking about a variety of supply chain topics. So supply chain leaders from across the Southeast will be joining us, APIX members and non-members. We'll probably have some CSCMP and ISM members as well. To learn more, check out apixatlanta.org. Before we move into thanking our sponsors, any other events or any other thoughts before we wrap up today's show?
Are we going to record right after this, we're recording the Falcons podcast, right?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. We brought beer so we can cry into it. Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll be at the Southern Automotive Conference that Ben mentioned. So we're happy to participate in that. And then there's another one that is coming up the 16th and 17th at the Southern Exchange Ballrooms is Venture Atlanta. Mm. And you can go to ventureatlanta.org.
Thank you, Paul, for mentioning that.
Yeah, and it's a you know, really the investment community and corporates from across the country are all converging upon Atlanta and looking at a lot of the Southeast talent.
Curo and Greg are part of that as well on that day.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, it's not just a Georgia thing. It's truly an entire, you know, Southeast, really anybody who's anybody when it comes to startups and really growth stage companies in the area comes to this event and pitches their ideas, their strategy, all that good stuff. And then the biggest thing that's there that's a payoff for them is the investors that are at the table. So, Paul, I know you guys are presenting. Is that right?
Yeah, we may be.
All right. That's right. They haven't announced.
Get back in that that bag, Cat. Get back in
the bag. We're not sure yet. We don't know yet.
Right.
I think that's a really good point, though, Paul, is that those have not been announced yet. So really exciting news coming up. Maybe we'll talk about that on the next podcast.
Yeah.
So. We absolutely will. So to learn more about Venture Atlanta, is it as simple as ventureatlanta.org? Is that right?
That's it.
Okay. And at the Southern Automotive Conference that Audit will be at, do you have a booth number, Paul, by chance?
We do not yet. We'll be presenting an innovation track pitch competition to some of the automotive executives that will be there. And then we'll be also presenting in a booth environment. But awesome. No details yet.
Okay. Demoing, potentially?
Yeah, we'll be demoing and talking to a lot of good customers on how we can help them.
Awesome. Cool. Love it. Well, again, no shortage of plugging in with the Supply Chain City. So I want to thank our sponsors real quick. Apex Atlanta is a leading professional association serving the supply chain space in Metro Atlanta for almost 60 years now. For more information about Apex, check them out at apexatlanta.org. And let's not forget, they got to mention earlier today, first time ever, about TalentStream, a WeBank certified recruiting and staffing firm that specializes in helping organizations find top talent in the engineering, the manufacturing, and the supply chain space. You can learn more at talentstreamstaffing.com. Okay, great conversation today. We'd like to thank our special guest, Paul Noble, with Audit. Thank you, Paul. John McKee with Sprint Business Solutions for joining us.
Thank you,
John. On behalf of Will, Ben, and the rest of us here at Supply Chain Now Radio, we thank you for joining us and wish you a great weekend. Go Tigers, beat the Aggies, and Stone, what did we miss? Let's go eat.
All right.